Let's go ahead and Let's find our seats, por favor. I think sometimes the hardest thing for me being up here is knowing where to start, because I end up having so many thoughts and so many things that are stirring around in me, and I feel like I'm hearing, I feel like I have 10 different places to jump off, and so, but first things first, it's Olivia's birthday today. Right? I'm right, right? Yep, she turned 16 today. Ish, give or take about 5 years. I was precision guesswork, this is true. I want to pray, and I want to take us somewhere that I have no intention of staying, but feel like it's a good place to start. So just pray with me. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's alive. It's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word. You guard it. You send it out, and it will accomplish everything that you send it to do. And so today, as your word pierces our hearts, I pray that everything that you designed and desire for it to accomplish in us would come to pass. That we would yield and submit ourselves to the process of what you want to do in us today. We're thankful for you. We love you, Lord. We say, here am I, send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 for like this long. I want to read you a story out of here. Again, this is not where I want to put the car in park, but it might happen. I don't know. I really just feel strongly that this is a word that we need to hear for starting this. So leading into Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26, but I want to share this thought with you so that as we open and read this, you actually like let it penetrate in a bit. We sometimes echo God. No. We sometimes struggle with how we feel about people saying they hear from God, or that God said something, or maybe you were brought up like I was in certain time of my life, where I was taught that God doesn't speak anymore. With the end of the apostles, there was no need for that any longer. That once the Bible was brought forth and translated and whatever other kind of thoughts are out there, that there is no need for God to speak, because he already spoke everything he wants to speak inside of his word. And I just don't buy that. I don't think that's true. I'm okay. I just making sure you can hear it too. Sometimes I hear things that others don't hear, and I have to find out if others are hearing it. It does. I'm careful myself in attributing everything I hear and feel and sense to God. I know that I'm still human. I'm still learning and hearing and trying to navigate what I feel and hear. If you hear me say something like, this is what I feel or this is what I hear, or that I am in one sense saying I feel like I'm hearing this from God, in another sense I have awe and fear of God enough that I'm not like, God's just throwing all this stuff at me and it's all God, and I wish it was that simple. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. What? Wait. Yeah, right? Hey, Phil, got something for you to do. Angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Who's Philip? Anybody? Can somebody tell me who Philip is? It's a guy. Okay. Where did Philip come from? I'm waiting for somebody to tell me. There's no... Absolutely. Yes. Do we see Philip anywhere else in Scripture? Like... in the Gospels, do we see Philip? So he's not like a centerpiece. If you named Peter, James, John, right, we'd be like, you named Bartholomew, he did something, you'd be like, who? Right? Bart, he... Philip is one of those guys that you see him, but... So Philip is not a well-known person. He's not, like, we can't sit and name his backstory. Maybe you can. But I'm looking at this guy, Philip, and I'm like, the angel of the Lord showed up to Philip, and Philip didn't go, what in the world? Which tells me that Philip had a relationship enough that he knew what was happening. It didn't freak him out, didn't scare him, didn't make him run. It was, I hate to say common practice because there's nothing common about God. But it had happened. Speaks to Philip, it's saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. That's a weird statement. I got a whole sermon on that. Not today. I really, the desert place. I'm like, Anyway. Verse 27. So he arose and went. Went on what? But he went on a word. There was no specifics. There was no, I'm going to do this. There was no, this is what's about to happen. There was no, at the end of this, it's going to be awesome. There was no, I'm going to make your name known, Philip. I've got a crowd of people waiting for you, Philip. It was just, go. Okay. So watch what happens. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. One guy. He was returning, right? He had gone to worship. sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Watch this. Then the Spirit, if you read out of the New Living, it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip. So New King James says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Again, no clear, like, this is what's going to happen. This is what you're about to do. This is what I need from you. This is what... Do you hear what I'm saying? This is not what I want to speak on, but I need to just say this. We struggle so much with hearing God because we want all of the steps put in place before we ever respond to the voice that God is clearly speaking to us. So we go, I need to know all the stuff involved in what I'm about to say yes to, or I struggle with saying yes. Okay. I need to know all the steps, or I personally struggle, right? I'm telling you, you're not alone. I'm in the same boat. I'm still learning how to just go, yes, Lord. I was down here in prayer this morning, and the idea of a compass came up, and I heard this over it, that God's compass, if it says north, even if it doesn't seem like it's north to us, guess what it is? North. But wait, mine says, mm-mm. God's compass says you're going north, but mine says it's, mm-mm. God's compass says you're going north, but I'm... Right? Sometimes we just need to go, yes, Lord, I'll walk east until it turns north. I don't know. Whatever. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. But you said go, and you said go north, and you said go this direction. I don't understand. I heard somebody say once, they went through a drive-thru restaurant. McDonald's, let's say, and if you eat at McDonald's, you can repent later. But no, I'm playing. I really am just playing. But he went through this drive-thru, and the Lord put on his heart to give the man that was taking his order $100, like, just here's $100. But he struggled with that, and he said, I don't know that that's God. So he drives off. He goes to his youth pastor and he says, I went through the drive-thru and I heard the Lord. I thought I heard the Lord say, give this guy $100. But then I thought, oh, that's probably just me. I can't do that. And so he chose not to do it. And he's telling his youth pastor this. And his youth pastor said, that was God. And he was like, how do you know? He goes, when does self tell self to give money away? That doesn't happen. Self says, keep all the money, right? Learning to hear the voice of God sometimes is uncomfortable. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we go, eh. Because here's the other part. God's voice most often sounds like our own voice in our head. We struggle with it. That's me. That's just me. How many times have you said that? I have. Oh, so many times. I hear something and I go, I think that's just me. And so I don't respond because he said go north, but I feel like I'm going east, and so I don't know that I... So Philip hears... I mean, I'm wanting an angel. Ooh, I better be careful. I got to be really careful what I say. I'm wanting such clarity that there is no doubt, right? Without the need for all of the direction, but just a call that says go. And I go, yes, Lord. Right? Isaiah, right? I searched for a man to stand in the gap, but could find one nowhere. Anyway. Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. Oh, that would be my response. Hear the word of the Lord, run. Come on. And heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? This is where I really wanted to get to. Do you understand what you're reading? Here's what the eunuch says. How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? I don't know how to put it up there. Guides me. How many people around us desire to know and understand the things of God, but they're waiting for you to respond to God? Listen, God is not sitting back going, I sure wish people could hear. He's saying, go. Go, 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 go. When you get there, you'll know. And when you find what your assignment is, you'll know what to say, because I will fill your mouth with the words that need to be spoken in the instant they need to be spoken. Ha! Yes, sir. Oh, that's good. Did you hear that? He hides it from us for us. It's actually in the Greek, the word is mysterion, which is a mystery. Not a mystery that cannot be solved, but one that is not easily solved. In other words, you have to dig a little bit to find out what's there. That's what the Greek word, it says that Christ is hidden in mystery. It's mysterion. He can be found, but you got to dig a little to find him, right? He can be heard, but you got to dig a little to hear him. You can know your assignment, but you got to dig a little bit to find that, right? But once you respond, and this is where I see this in Philip. Philip heard the word, but he had to dig a little down inside and go, I'm going to just respond to this and go. Right? Go over near that chariot. Yeah. What if he says, yeah, but that's this guy. That looks like a royal chariot. What if somebody responds and kills me? This reminds me. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. I wasn't going to preach this, so we're not going to go there too far. How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. Do you see how easy this is? Can I tell you this? Generally speaking, how many of you in here have ever been on any kind of mission trip, short-term or long-term? How easy was it to sit and just express the love of God to anyone that was in front of you? So much easier than what we make it out to be here at home. Why? I'll tell you why. Right here. A heart going, I will go whatever direction you want me to go. I'll speak to anybody you want me. And like, we open ourselves up. We determine that we're here for a purpose and a mission. And we let God express His love through us in a way that is only a yielded heart can do. It's like our focus, because everything back home gets left. Every problem gets shelved. Every thought gets pushed away. And our focus becomes, God, I'll be anything you need me to be here today. And someone comes and sits next to us and they begin to unfold their heart to us. Something maybe we've never experienced or encountered. Like, I've been abused, right? And maybe you've never been abused yourself, but you don't care because you're just expressing the love of God to them and the healing and the virtue and all of God and all that He is. And you don't have to, well, I can empathize and I can, and boy, how can I minister to somebody unless I've gone through that myself? You don't even worry about that. It's like the love of God covers all of this stuff, and it begins to wipe it away, and it begins to heal and set free, and we don't care about whether you're black, white, green, yellow, orange, it doesn't matter. I'm here to love. What if we had eyes like that here and now? What if we, like Philip, just went, Lord, I'll, whatever. Sure. You bet. When I get there, I may not have all the answers, but you do. We serve the one who is the answer. Wow. place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Keep going. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus. I'm going to keep going. Sometimes we make this too complicated. And the enemy loves to try to bring distraction. What about? Jesus. What? Jesus. Where? Jesus. When? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, but I don't understand the scripture. Jesus. Do we need to do all the stuff? Jesus. How am I going to be healed? Jesus. How am I going to live life? Jesus. How am I going to pay my bills? Jesus. How is my marriage going to get fixed? Jesus. How are my crazy kids going to come back home? Jesus. Jesus. 36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. This is crazy. He didn't go to a class. He didn't. He went to Jesus school. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized right now? Oh my gosh, man. Do you remember in AKP baptizing 34 kids in the high school swimming pool? We had nowhere else to do it, and the high school was like, hey, we have a pool. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, we didn't hold a school. We didn't have a class. We didn't have a, did you say the right prayer? We didn't have a, we were like, you got Jesus. Now let's do the next thing. We make it too complicated. Too complicated. The simplicity of the gospel. We question things like, were that real? Do you want it to be real? Like that's, we struggle with this because we struggle with our own reality of what's going on inside of us. Perfect jump off point. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. This one, I think I want to read out of... I'll give you the choice. ESV or New Living? New Living. Okay, we're going to go to New Living. Galatians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 8. There's really, the only reason I'm reading it out of a different translation is there's one word in the New King James that it's not that I disagree with, I just wish they would have added it, but they changed the way it's said, and I was like, whatever. So this is Paul speaking to the Galatian church. Do you know who the Galatians were? So, the Galatians were an interesting group of people. They were heavily influenced by Rome, and then by the Hellenistic Greeks. They had a group of Jewish believers they called the Judaizers. Yeah. But mostly they were pagan And so Paul went in, and as Paul went into Galatia, the first places he began to preach was in the Jewish synagogue. He was preaching in the Jewish synagogues and sharing the gospel of Jesus and seeing people saved. And then he began to move into the pagan homes and just this radical move of people coming to know Jesus was like. So in Galatians chapter 4, the Judaizers are coming in and they're trying to put law on these men and women who had given their hearts and lives to Jesus, who had accepted the gospel that Paul had preached to them. And they're going, yeah, but you aren't circumcised. Yeah, but you didn't and you don't and you need to follow all these traditions and laws and rules and all these different things. You have to have this because the grace of God, just I don't know if it's quite enough. Listen, if you need more proof that God actually loves you than the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, you missed the whole point. Hear this. As long as the tomb is empty, anything is possible in our lives. We're complicating things that are not needed to be complicated. We're trying to add things to our walk or our Christianity that create instead of creating a pursuit of the one who found me, they create a need to try and work our way into His graces. The grace of God doesn't work like that, though. The grace of God doesn't, it's not a performance-based. It's not a what I can do in order to work my way in. It's already done. Sorry, I have a Greek word running through my head, and I need to figure out if I need to share this. The word know, which we actually will, it's in here in I think verse 10, but the word know, to know Him or to be known by Him, is a term of intimacy, but it is to place your love upon somebody. In Hebrew, we see it first when it said, "And Adam knew Eve, and they bore a son." There's something that's produced when love is put upon something or someone. So when God, when we did nothing, He placed His love upon us. Before we were born, He placed His love upon us, and that love lasts eternally. That the product of what God established and did, and we struggle with that because we try to earn His love when it was already placed on us. So before you Gentiles knew God, before you understood who He was, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. This is kind of a wink at the idea of the slaves of Israel being in Egypt and coming out, right? They prayed, God heard them, the plagues, the release, the parting of the Red Sea, they're out in the desert, and they start complaining and grumbling. It was so much better back in Egypt. You guys remember this? So much better back in Egypt. At least we had leeks and onions. And slavery and beating, right? You were slaves. Your chains were broken. from these so-called gods, we'll get to that in a second, that don't even exist. So now that you know God, or I don't like the way this is said, but or should I say, now that God knows you, God's always known you. I don't agree with that statement. In the New King James, it says, now that you know God, or rather, you are known by God. I like that so much better. I think that's the proper way to say it, because you've always been known. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Hello, Isaiah 5. Right? I knew you. And I called you, set you apart. Anyway, why do you want to go back again to become enslaved once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of the world? That one word right there, of this world, is why I chose this translation. So what does the world have to do with any of this? I'm so glad you asked. Now this one, I need you to go back to the New King James. We're going to come back to this scripture in just a minute. 1 John, it's before 2 John. This is way back, right before Revelation. 1 John 2:16. Are we good? We all awake? Listen to this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. The reason I didn't read this out of ESV is it says the desires of the flesh. I think lust is nitty-gritty. It is down to what I needed to say. The lust of the flesh is bad. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So can anyone tell me, what is the lust of the flesh? That is good. That is... Oh, look at y'all. Man, I got a microphone down here. This is good. This is all really good. We're going into a time of fishing, so I can't help it. I see these three things like lures. And every lure has a hook. Right? And just when you think you got it, guess what? It got you. Lust of the flesh, it speaks to how do you feel? How does this make you feel? I want to be offensive. So take your shoes off. Stick your toes out there so I can stomp on them for just a second. I've had it up to here with the, I just don't like the way this makes me feel. I don't want to do that because it doesn't feel good. I don't want to listen because I don't feel like it. Right? Look, the root of these things is the lust of the flesh. I'm going to show you two very different things, but people who smoke crack, that is a lust of the flesh. Some people eat a lot of cookies. That is lust of the flesh. I know that they're drastically different. If you have to choose one, like if you're forced to choose one, cookies. Just saying. Oh my gosh. Man, Sage is out here going, choose neither. Bad idea. Donuts, okay, whatever. I'm just saying, like, we have a generation that is coming up that have been taught that everything is about your feelings. It is a trap. It's a lure that has a hook that gets a hold of you, and suddenly everything becomes about how you feel. I want to be very careful because I don't disagree with this. I just think it's misused. I need a mental health day. Again, don't disagree with it. But I think sometimes I go, you just had three. I need a mental health month sometimes, but, you know. No, I'm just saying, like, we've taught people, even our military, guys, it makes me sad. And this went on years ago, like, this whole time out thing. I'm like, what is time out? Right? Yeah, I'm like, where did we get this idea that that is okay? Because we don't want to make anybody feel bad. Yikes. Look, I get, God made our feelings, God made our emotions, but He didn't make them to dictate to us our direction. So what's the pride of the eyes? Or sorry, the lust of the eyes. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Go ahead, Victoria. I know you got it back there. So I got one for you. How many of you in here have ever bought a vehicle, bought a car or a truck? Or a, okay. So you ever notice that you've never seen that car around until you actually like go and look at one, and all of a sudden every stop sign you come to, there's one there. It's like it's calling out to you. That's lust of the eye. You need me. This will fulfill you. Right? For some of you, it might be a new house. For some of you, it might be a new half bath in your room, in your house, or something. Some of you, it might be, you know, a spouse. It could be, who knows? I don't, you know, there's so many things that it is about the sensual things of the eyes that call out to you that you covet and need. I need this to be fulfilled. All of these things bring you to bondage if we allow them to dictate the direction of our life. So what's the pride of life? If I could explain the pride of life in simple form, it's self-sufficient. It's like, I'm enough, me. It's me, and I'm enough. And so, like, if I could, like, if you came in here next year and all your goals were met, and you had abs and pockets full of cash that was just falling out, and, right? You're not going to be fulfilled because it's still you. Look, if you know anybody with abs, they're not happy either. We go to a restaurant with them. They watch you order cheesecake and they go, I want cheesecake. But cheesecake and abs don't go together. So they're miserable. You're miserable because you're like, I want your abs. And they're like, I want your cheesecake. And neither one of you are happy. And let's go back to Scripture. We'll go back to Galatians chapter 4. I think we're in verse 10. Oh, wow, I got to move. Y'all are making me distracted. So Paul tells him this. You observe days and months and seasons and years. Do you know what he's talking about? Yes, but really what he's talking about is the Jewish festivals, the different things that these Judaizers are telling them, unless you do these things, God won't love you like you need to be loved. Unless you do these things, you can't be fulfilled. I've got no issue with doing any of those things, but they're not going to bring me into a greater grace level with God. They're all meant to reveal Yeshua. All of them are meant to reveal Jesus, right? All of them. And so if we utilize the things that God... I love history. I love the Jewish people. I love the culture. I love all of it. I love to study it and know it. But I'm not Jewish. So I don't have to do those things. I get to do those things. I don't have to feel like I'm not fulfilled unless I'm doing these things. I get to see the beauty of Jesus fulfilling all of these things. That's what they're... That's their thing. Verse 11. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. That's a scary statement. I'm scared that I put my pearls before swine. That's kind of how he would say it. Can we park this car for just 1 second? I just thought of John chapter 5. I have no idea what verse. I'll tell you the story. You can find it in John chapter 5. It's the healing of the paralytic man at the pool of Bethesda. There's this pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda, and there it had some translations say porches, some translations say colonnades, some, you know, there's different that there. Anyway, there's this pool. Was it right at the beginning? Okay. Gee whiz, I didn't somebody tell me. So every day there was the lame, the paralyzed, all the those who needed healing were carried to this pool daily, and in hopes that I have my own version of this and I'm not going to go there today, but in hopes that this angel would stir the waters, because when the waters were stirred, the first one in would get healed. So there was a certain man. He had been lame for 38 years. He laid there for 38 years, hoping to make it in the water, right? He's on his mat. Jesus walks up and says this: "Do you want to be healed?" What an outrageous question. What an outlandish question. That just seems offensive. Do you want to be healed? I gotta ask you, do you want to be healed? Hear why I'm asking this. If I'm healed, I no longer have an excuse for my behavior. If I'm set free and the chains are broken and things have shifted, I no longer can use this as a crutch. Do you want to be healed? The man says, I do. But every time the water's stirred, that girl's faster, that girl's faster, that guy's faster. In fact, I tried to get there, a trip. I know he's probably getting tripped, but my story. I try, I can't get in. Everybody's faster. Everybody's stronger. Everybody else has people to help them. Right? Can I tell you this? This is not the heart of God. God never stirred the waters and watched the show. Let's see who can get in first. Oh, not you, sorry. Not how God works, but and preached this before. I did a lot of study on this. But here's the reason I brought this story. Jesus tells the man, right? He heals him, tells him to take up his mat, right? Can you imagine? This is a mat that this man has been laying on for 38 years. How many of y'all got yoga mats? Anybody in here? Nobody wants to raise their hand. Your Pilates or yoga mat probably smells like a foot. And you clean it. And you only use it every once in a while, you know? This guy, 38 years, has been laying on the same mat. He doesn't get up and go take a break for a little while. Like, he's on this mat 38 years. This is nasty. In fact, there's a Greek word for it. It's shenasty. Okay, it's not real. But he takes his mat, rolls it up, carries it with him, right? And goes and presents himself. And the religious people go, "It's the Sabbath." Who in the world heals anybody on the Sabbath? That's ridiculous blasphemy. Why? Because all they could see was the mat. God can do the most miraculous thing ever right in front of you. And are you focused on the mat or are you focused on what God actually did? God can break our chains, set us free, and somehow all we see is a mat. Now, can you imagine coming back in like 2 weeks and that guy's lounging on his mat again? You're like, get up, dude. What are you doing laying on that disgusting mat that you were set free from? Why do you keep going back to this mat? Why has this become your crutch? Why has this become your identity? Why do you not know how to live outside of this mat? It's not who you are anymore. The chains have been broken. You have been set free. You have been healed. Stop going back to the mat. One more, quick. John chapter 11. This one's further down. I don't know where. John chapter 11 something. I don't know why I can't get the verse in my head, but it's there. It's John chapter 11, Lazarus. Word comes to Jesus that his friend Lazarus is sick. You guys remember this? So Jesus stays where he's at for a few more days. He's like, okay. And he goes. He's like, all right, it's time. Let's go. So he takes his disciples. They go to where Mary and Martha are, who are weeping, going, Lord, if you'd only been here, he'd have never died. I missed one of the most important parts, which Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there. Pauses are everything. It depends on, you know. Anyway, he didn't say it the way I just said it, but I like it for dramatic effect. Jesus shows up and he talks with Martha and Mary, consoles them, says, I'm here now. It's all good. Your brother will rise, right? And they're like, we know what the resurrection is. He'll rise. No. I am the resurrection and the life, right? So who's Jesus? So Jesus, standing, he tells them to take him to where the tomb is. Then he says, roll away the stone. And they're like, King James, he stinketh. He says, he's been in there for 4 days. By now, his body stinks. So Jesus says this, Lazarus, right? Spurgeon said, if he hadn't said Lazarus and just said, come forth, all the graves would have opened up. We'd been like, oh boy. You know, Aunt Betty, what you doing back here? He said specifically, Lazarus, come forth. Now look, this is the part we don't realize, but Lazarus, wrapped in grave clothes, his grave clothes would have weighed somewhere around 150 pounds. Right? Because he didn't get unbound. He's jumping around. He can't speak. Right? First thing Jesus says, you, unwrap his grave clothes. Now what happens? Jesus comes back in a week and here comes Lazarus again. What are you doing still in those clothes? Why did you wrap yourself all back up like that? What is wrong? You're alive. Put on alive men's clothes, not dead men's clothes. You've been set free. Stop binding yourself. Your voice has been loosed. Stop wrapping this stuff around your face. Right? What if we just put on partial burial clothes? What if it's just the head part? Your tongue has been loosed. Right? I'm like, I need you to get this. We've been set free. Stop going back to bondage. We have been moved from being slaves to being sons and daughters. Stop going back to being a slave. What does it mean to be a son or a daughter? Is Kiana in here? Oh, there she is. Oh. Good, I can talk in front of you. My daughter is one of the only people, aside from my wife, who it doesn't matter what I'm doing, like, I can be praying for your very soul. Which, if you'd stop going back to bondage, I could get some other work done. No, I'm playing. Totally playing. I don't know who brought this guy to church today. She literally could, like, you know, step over my reading self and lay herself on me and it would be okay. I'm not going to go, how dare you? Why would you do that? Did you shower today? No, I'm just saying, like, that's what we think about God, is we got to get all cleaned up and figured out and we can't possibly come and get near Him or sit near Him or interrupt Him. He's got more important things to do. He's got better stuff to do than to deal with me. A son or a daughter can go sit right in the lap of their father and go, Daddy, I'm on a rough day. Or, I just woke up and I'm not sure what I'm going to do today. Right? We can come to Him with bedhead, no brushed teeth. It don't matter. We don't need to make sure we're all clean. Look, if you're like me, you were taught that God cannot even look on sin. Lies. That is a lie. It's a religious lie meant to control how you respond to a loving Father who wants you near. Look, if God couldn't even look on sin, why did He go looking for Adam? Instead of going, Adam, before I look at you, I killed these animals, put these skins on. That's not what He did. Adam, where are you? You seem to be lost right now. Right? Adam shows up. I think he called out from the bush. Like, we're over here. We heard you coming, but we was afraid because we were naked. We all know the story. I don't need to go into it. But as Adam and Eve responded to God, God didn't reject them. He made a way for them to be covered. God didn't send them away angry. God didn't, right? He loved them and He made a way. He loves you and He will always make a way. But as we are set free, as the chains are broken, as the bondage is broken, as the slavery ties are broken, as the mindsets are changed, as we come from death to life, as we're raised up from our mats, we're not meant to go back to those. We're not meant to find the chains, right? This is where, again, why I read 1 John 2 to you is because the enemy is constantly throwing the lure out there going, come on, you just need this. If you could just get this. If you could just feel better. If you could just feel like I love that it was Paul that wrote these things, and I would love to continue to read what he says, but I'll just say it this way. This is Paul. Paul, who was sitting in prison, and says, I've learned to rejoice in all things, right? I've learned to abate, learned to abound. I'm good. Somebody came to him and said, Paul, if you don't knock off your Bible studies and your Jesus preaching, I'm going to kill you. Sweet, I'll be with the Lord. Well, never mind. We'll just keep you in captivity and beat you. Awesome. I can't believe that I've been found worthy to suffer like my Lord and Savior Jesus. Like, who did that? Like, what do you do with somebody like that? Can't kill him because that's what he wants. Can't beat him because he's glad. Right? What do you do? You know what they did with him? They put him in a house. They're like, we're just going to set you up in a house. Oh, you need a scribe? Okay, I guess. Whatever. Right? Oh, you're going to pen 2/3 of the New Testament? Okay, whatever. Right? We don't know what to do with you. Not us. We're like, I don't feel very good about this. Wait, I need that to make my life fulfilled. I'm awesome. Like, that's us. We're one of those, typically. Either we are so conceited about who we are that we miss God, or we feel like we need something more to be fulfilled to whatever, or we're feeding something that tells us this makes me feel better. Or we're just flat in bondage, which is all of the above. So, this is what I'd like to do today. I honestly realize that we've all, at different times, kind of either gone back to our mats or put on our grave clothes again or just struggled with hearing His voice, like Philip, and just responding because we don't want to feel any certain way. And so what I want to do, I want to make a declaration and pray over you, but I'm going to have you two come down here. You can come down now if you want. And I want everybody to stand up, please. So I'm just going to make a declaration, pray over you, and if you want to receive prayer, like you want to respond to what God's doing and saying, I want to invite you to come and receive prayer. So, Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, again, that there is life in and on your word. Thank you that, Lord, we're not stuck in a place of slavery. We're not stuck in a